Radio Prague News. The Czech Prime Minister has called for joint protection of the European Union's outer borders. Fugitive Czech businessman Radovan Krejčíř was found guilty of kidnapping and attempted murder by a court in Johannesburg today. And ČSR flight attendants are to go on a three-day strike starting Wednesday. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has called for the EU to take joint action in protecting the alliance's outer borders. Speaking to journalists following talks with the visiting French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius, Mr. Sobotka said all EU member states should contribute to reinforcing the EU's outer borders since the EU's buffer states do not appear to have the situation fully under control. The Czech Prime Minister said the Czech Republic would bring up the matter at upcoming EU sessions. The Frontex European Border Agency, which was established in 2004 and tasked with coordinating and developing border management, operates on a limited budget only. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has stressed the importance of the Western Balkans for European security and stability. Addressing an annual meeting of Czech ambassadors and consuls in Prague, the Prime Minister stressed the importance which the Czech Republic attached to helping Balkan states undergo a successful transformation and prepare for EU membership. He singled out Serbia and Montenegro as having made significant progress in their set goals. The Prime Minister also devoted a lot of time to the migrant crisis, saying Europe must take joint action to bring the problem under control. Mr. Sobotka stressed that it was necessary to address the problem on a broader scale, since the only way of curbing or halting the stream of migrants was to pay more attention to its cause, not just its consequences. The High Court in Johannesburg has found Czech fugitive Radovan Krejčíř guilty of kidnapping, attempted murder and attempted possession of drugs in a case relating to a 2013 botched drugs deal. Four of his accomplices who were tried with him were also found guilty. This is one of four cases against Krejčíř and it is the first time he has been convicted by a South African court. The Czech fugitive businessman has already spent 20 months behind bars in South Africa. In the Czech Republic, Krejčíř was sentenced to 10 and a half years in jail for tax evasion in absentia. Flight attendants at the Czech national carrier ČSA will go on a three-day strike over low pay, the union representatives announced on Monday. The strike is due to begin at 1 a.m. on Wednesday. It is not clear how many flight attendants are expected to participate and how many flights may be cancelled. Cabin crews have been on strike alert since May of this year. The company's management said the strike is illegal and that it would do its utmost to minimize its impact. As a member of the Sky Team Alliance, ČSA provides flights to 48 destinations in 24 countries. Over 100 people in the town of Nový Bor in the north of the country have been treated for stomach pains, vomiting and diarrhea. Laboratory tests confirmed the presence of a virus which experts say could have come from contaminated tap water. Hygiene officers say the problem could have been caused by wastewater seeping into the pipes carrying water for household consumption. The town's mayor has ordered the local library and kindergartens to be closed until further notice. The matter is being investigated. A similar incident happened in Prague 6 in the summer when close to 200 people were taken ill after drinking tap water contaminated by coliform bacteria. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The start of the week should be clear and sunny with day temperatures around 25 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, proposals for a new Czech Ministry of Research and Development. We'll have a roundup of the latest sports news, and the new head of the International Network of Czech Centres tells us they should do more to promote Czech science and innovation. All that's coming up in today's programme. While Czech politics is often in flux, the ministries that the political parties fight to win control over show a surprising consistency. There have been few newcomer ministries over the last decades. Now, however, the deputy minister in charge of science, research and innovation, Pavel Bělobrádek, is pushing for the creation of a new research and development ministry, which will be better able to fulfil the government's targets for more dynamic and effective research and innovation. Chris Johnstone reports.
The current Czech coalition government set out its basic programme, the ambition to promote stronger and more effective Czech research and development. Links between Czech researchers and their European and global counterparts would be strengthened, and steps would be taken to try and ensure that more practical use was made of research results by private companies and public institutions. Cash for research and development has also increased, with total Czech spending on R&D running at 1.8% of gross domestic product last year. That's around twice the levels of a decade ago and the highest proportion in Central and Eastern Europe. The ambitions were recently highlighted by the appointment of the country's first research and development ambassador. The country chosen, Israel, is often cited as the role model for what the Czech Republic could be doing if R&D was being promoted properly and being a real motor for economic growth on its own rather than just a bit player. But the Christian Democrat leader tasked over the last 18 months with spearheading the country's research and development goals, Pavel Bělobrádek, says the current organisation is not delivering the right results. There are too many uncoordinated research actors, such as the universities and Academy of Science, and the system is unclear and complicated, with research bodies often having to report to several ministries with their results and requests. Bělobrádek, whose staff work out of the main government offices, originally believed that a new research and development office might fit the bill. Now, though, the thinking has moved on to the creation of a full-blown ministry. He explained to Czech television the context for that decision.
The creation of a single central authority is just one of the conclusions of an international audit of Czech research. We weighed up several options and a ministry is one of them. It turned out that this is, technically speaking, probably the most effective solution. If it were just a new authority, it wouldn't be sufficient.
The last new ministry created was back in 2003 when the Ministry of Informatics was born. It had a relatively short life and was dissolved 4 years later, with its competences shared out between three other ministries and many of its goals unachieved. Pavel Bělobrádek says he's now searching for a wide-ranging consensus that a new research and development ministry is the best way forward, so that the new creation will not end up as a one-term wonder. So far, the responses seem to be favourable, with some of the leading opposition parties also backing the idea. The proposal for a new ministry could go to the government in the autumn, and it could be up and running at the earliest by the start of 2017.
Thank you for that report, Chris Johnstone. Now it's Monday, so it's time for a roundup of the main sports news from the weekend. We start today at the Canoe Sprint World Championships in Milan, where the Czech Republic's Martin Fuchsa has come first in the 500 metres. On Saturday, the 22-year-old had narrowly missed out on first place in the 1,000 metres, which features in the Olympic Games, taking silver after finishing just 17 thousandths of a second behind the winner. But Fuchsa made no mistake in the 500 metres on Sunday, grabbing gold in a time of 1 minute 51.004 seconds. He says he's unconcerned by the fact that it's not an Olympic event and that nothing can take away from the fact he can now call himself world champion.
I was lacking that title, so it sounds great to my ears. Everything I do is focused on reaching the podium, and standing on its highest point is simply wonderful. I wasn't thinking at all about the fact I came second yesterday. Yesterday evening I watched the race several times and I really just barely missed out. But that's how it was meant to be, and today I have even greater appetite for victory.
Fuchs's teammate Josef Dostal will be another canoeist to watch at the Olympics in Rio next year. He took silver in the K1 1000 metres and was also part of the Czech crew that came third in the K4 1,000 metres. As well as the four medals, the Czech Republic earned six places in Rio at the weekend. Now to the World Athletics Championships in the Chinese capital Beijing, where Pavel Maslak failed to make it out of the heats in the 400 metres at the Bird's Nest Stadium on Saturday. The reigning indoor world champion, Maslak came fifth at the last outdoor world championships in Moscow in 2013, but finished last in his qualification race this time out. The entire field has been faster. Maslak's time in Moscow, a Czech record 44.54 seconds, would have left him just 18th in Beijing. Soccer, and it's as was at the top of the Czech top flight after the fifth round at the weekend. Leaders Sparta Prague overcame Dukla Prague 2-0 in a mini derby at their Letná Stadium. Second-placed Slovácko beat Jihlava 2-1 on the road, and Slovan Liberec in third overcame Teplice 2-0 at home. Reigning champions Viktoria Pilsen, who are in fifth, secured a 2-0 home win over Olomouc. National team boss Pavel Vrba will on Tuesday announce his squad for next month's Euro 2016 qualifiers at home to Kazakhstan and away to Latvia. With none of the leading strikers abroad appearing for their clubs at present, there is speculation that Vrba may call up other Czech league forwards alongside Sparta's David Lafata. Slavia's Milan Škoda, for instance, has 6 goals in 5 games this term, while Roman Bednář, who is now with Příbram, has 4. Now, in the final part of today's programme, here's a conversation I recorded last week with Zdeněk Lička, the freshly appointed acting director of the Czech Centres Network. Zdeněk Lička has just been made acting director of the Czech Centres, a network of institutes that promote Czech culture on the international stage. Mr. Lička, who is 57, himself headed the Czech Centre in Stockholm at the end of the 1990s, and he's also served as Czech ambassador to Denmark. When we spoke, I asked him how much independence the 22 Czech centres around the world enjoy. Do they have to coordinate every step with Prague, or do they have a lot of room to do their own thing?
Everything starts with the entrance discussion and the interview. It is because it is very important that we choose a person who is able to do it on their own, on his or her own, and with the small money we offer, and with the context he or she has. And then, of course, they come with a proposal of the program. Then, if they can get some more financing from the other sources, not only from Prague, from the headquarters. So, of course, we are very tolerant to the program. But of course, it was in the direction to promote Czech culture and the best of the Czech culture, and not only Czech culture, but also innovations, technique, and economical relations and tourism and regions and so on. And then, of course, there are some, let's say, compulsory things from headquarters. We are pressing the directors to do also more things from the innovation and science and technology. The Czech Republic is a small country, and then we can impress the world with avant-garde culture and film and some small things. But also scientific developments and innovation, the Czech brains and the Czech golden hands and so on.
Is there a sense in which Czech centres are competing with analogous institutes of other countries, like, for example, the Slovak centres or Polish institutes?
I don't think they are really competing. Normally, they are cooperating, either in the framework of Visegrad 4, which is now... the Czech Republic has its presidency for this year until half of the next year. So, of course, it is our interest to put things together and to do things together with the Slovaks and Hungarians and Poles. And sometimes we can compete, because if you have the same audience and you are in, the West European country. So, of course, if the Poles come with an attractive program, so the Czechs should come also with an attractive program, because otherwise the people would come to the Polish Institute, not the Czechs to the Czech Center. But as from my experience, it's cooperation, and we are pressing them to cooperate from the headquarters. Outside Europe, it's totally different, because it is very necessary to cooperate. Because I remember I was once discussing something, cultural questions in China, and we were together, four Visegrad countries, and then we took alliance with Austrians and Slovenians, so we had this Visegrad 4 plus 2, so it is this so-called Central European Cultural Platform. And then the Chinese were able to talk to us, because they could identify where it is.
Do individual Czech centres simply get a budget for the whole year and they have to work with it, or can they apply for extra funding for particular projects from headquarters?
Normally, it's brand new for this year. They have the budget until the whole year, because we have limited money from our founder for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Czech House in Moscow. And the money is limited. And then that's why all the directors, they have the final money decided. And then during the year, we had some amendments and some things. And very rarely we enhance the money if they have a special project which is very important politically and so on. But they can gather money on their own, and then, of course, they can continue with the money. But normally it is like that. I'm planning for the next year, I'm planning something new. There will be some spare money, not much, but there was some spare money for the projects, for example, from in the field of European cooperation. And then the Czech centers can compete between themselves. And then the headquarters will give them only to the projects that are reliable and the best. I think this is the way the Danish Ministry of Foreign Affairs is doing things with the cultural parts of the embassies abroad and the British Council as well.
If I understand it right, then individual Czech centres can somehow raise money independently?
Yes.
And how do they do that?
They talk to the Czech firms, Czech exporters to the region where they are established, where they are at home. Of course, they can ask for the public money as well, as if they have cooperation with the city halls and some other organizations, private organizations. So it's up to them. It's very different from country to country and from director to director, because sometimes there are personal contacts. Sometimes it's a Czech firm which is trying to get to the new market, and then it's willing to give the money. And sometimes it's bad, because in Russia, for example, the Czech firms are withdrawing. They are not staying. They are not expanding. So sometimes in Ukraine. We have also another possibility to raise money. It's the Czech language courses, because we have many people interested around the world to learn Czech. And then we have a specialist. I employed a specialist last year, a new position, a coordination of the Czech language courses abroad. And then it can raise money.
You mentioned the Czech House in Moscow. Is it the case that the rents from that building, that complex, support the whole Czech center network?
Yes, that's right. We normally we get money from the Czech House in Moscow. After paying the taxes, of course, then the rest is paid by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, because we are a subsidiary organization, and then our founder should give us some money. And altogether, it is the base we can start with. Then we have the language courses, and then we have our own money raised by the headquarters and by the Czech centers abroad.
As the new acting director of the Czech Centers Network, what are your plans for the future?
The first thing is, because next week we will have our annual meeting of the directors. This year, for the first time, it is together in the same, it is the same date as the meeting, annual meeting of the ambassadors from abroad. So it's very important, because sometimes we have some projects that can be good for both sides, for our Czech centers and the ambassadors. So I'm really looking forward to this working together. I think one of the first things is the money, of course. There will be limited money for the next year, so they have to find out how to get the extra financing. And the second one is very important thing, strategic planning of the events. Big events like top activities should be decided 1 year before they start to be, because sometimes it's very ad hoc. It should be prepared, and the money should be raised before that. I know it's very important, because otherwise, if you come to a big sponsor, big company, let's say 2 months before the activities, they are just laughing because, yeah, we've closed all our budget supports for this year. So this is one thing that our directors should start. They have to prepare the top activities for 2016 and 17, just now, this autumn. Then to put it together with the embassy and the embassy's priorities, then the priorities of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Foreign Service and presentation of the Czech Republic abroad. It means Czech tourism, Czech trade, Czech invest. It should be altogether tied with several activities which should gain the Czech Republic as a whole.
Are there particular activities of the Czech centres or typical projects that tend to be popular, like, I don't know, in film or art?
Film, it's very easy to prepare a film screening or something like that. You have a film, and the film is either good or bad. If you have a good film, so you can, and good name of the Czech film, fine. Art, it depends more on the level of the audience and so on. We have some centers focusing on modern art and very special public, but it's not the only role of the Czech center. It should be also open for the broader public and to serve the embassy's interests, for example. And next year there will be anniversary of Charles IV, the 700th anniversary of his birth. We don't have so many personalities in our small country that we should do something with Charles IV, and we prepared also for our directors there. They will get next week, they will get some summary of the possibilities, what they can do with the anniversary of Charles IV. Another interesting anniversary next year, it's 80 years of since Václav Havel's birth. And also Václav Havel, it is a personality abroad. And we have to do and something with the name and with the heritage. It will be more concentrated to the dissident activities of the President Havel, not as much as the president activities.
I was talking there to Zdeněk Lučka, acting director of the Czech Centres Network. And you can find out much more about their activities at their website. If you've got any comments about today's programme here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.